Today's Spurscast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. Access them right on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, what's up? It's your girl, P-Money, Santiva, that's right. So, you know, I'm already doing the most this. I came across this beat on YouTube because I'm chilling, you know, bored. And it's a 2 Chainz type beat. It's called Silent Hill by Good Beats. But I dropped a little hook to represent San Antonio and to do a little shout out. Little promoters, rappers, and whatnot, and trappers at. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Share it, like it. Let me know what you think though on the feed. And inbox me if you like it. So I'm gonna do shout outs. Hey, representing San Antonio, you already know. Doing the most this. Try baby, slutty, swing like ENT, P money. Okay.
Wanna do bad things.
That's real, yo. That dream at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 428 of the Spurscast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, casting the pods with me tonight, fresh off of a busy day at the gym, I'm sure, and I know he's going to tell us all about it. It's Mr. Jose Grijalva. Jose, thank you for leading us into the evening here on the Spurscast.
Bro, it was chest day, leg day, shoulder day, and back day, and I have a miserable cold.
That's
so
a big day.
I was fighting the elements, you know, if that makes sense.
That's a really big day. That's a big one. And a guy that we have from all the way from ProjectSpurs.com, which is not too far away on the interwebs, is Mr. Paul Garcia. Paul, thank you for joining the show.
Thanks, man. Just like Jose, I don't lift weights, but I just got done playing some ball, so my legs are a little tired as well. Not the cold part. Got out of that a few weeks ago.
Well, what did you do, Ryan? We want to know what you did.
I was about to jump right into it. So you guys were at the gym. You were playing basketball. I pulled into, it was maybe like a 4-foot-wide, nice leatherette booth inside of my neighborhood Chili's. I had a molten lava cake. I had some skillet queso. I did the double stack burger, some French fries. I watched my kid eat a corn dog. It was a pretty amazing night. Pretty epic. Pretty epic here. But you see, I'm naturally lean. I don't need to go work out. And I play basketball on Saturdays.
You're skinny.
With a donut.
That's what you're saying, right? Well, I can't lose any weight. I'm still at 220, and then you're just showing off that you can eat queso and all this stuff and not gain a pound.
Well, you know, what's strange, too, is because I'm not saying I'm an old guy, but I'm, you know, in my mid-30s. And, you know, I'm almost 6'3", but I weigh 185. So I guess I'm kind of skinny. I can't escape 185, no matter what I do. I can balloon up to like 190, 192 or something, but then the next week I'll be right back. And we were just bagging on other podcasts for being nervous talking. What's the deal? I think it's adding Paul. We're like nervous because he's a legit journalist, and we're a couple of bums. We got to turn this thing around, and I've got just the story to do it. Jose, I know that you're big into weird stories, and I know you're even bigger into SpongeBob. And even bigger than that, you're into Florida, all things Florida. Well, in St. Petersburg today, there's a new story out, and it's on the AustinAmericanStatesman.com. It says, he does not live in a pineapple, nor does he live under the sea. But a Florida man wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants outfit is accused of breaking into a house and standing over a sleeping woman on Monday. Sound familiar? This guy, Charles Kirkland, 32, got arrested and charged with burglary, loitering, prowling, and trespassing, according to St. Petersburg police. The victim, who was sleeping on a couch in her home, she called police after she woke up to find Kirkland standing over her dressed in a SpongeBob outfit. But before police could arrive, Kirkland ran off, and about a half an hour later, he was spotted standing outside of another home looking through a window at a woman getting dressed, or so police said. So, have you ever been accused, Jose, and I know you have, of prowling?
Just waiting for the squat rack. You know, I just stare, peek through the corner. Because nowadays they just use it for curling and all that. So that's not what it was meant for, obviously. I just don't get – I mean, how hard is it for somebody to be seen in a SpongeBob outfit? You know, for 30 minutes to, you know, just – excuse me, I have a horrible cold. For somebody to, you know, just be roaming out there, you know, in the SpongeBob outfit, running from police. How does somebody not stop, you know, this guy, especially at night? I mean, the first thing I would do if I would see a SpongeBob person running around, tackle them, and then just call the cops just to make sure if, you know, they're looking for him. And if they're not, then you run away because apparently they're going to call the cops on you for assault. So
yeah, I just...
It's Texas, right? So, I mean,
SpongeBob. No, it's Florida. Florida's
Oh, Florida. Yeah, oh, I apologize to Texas.
Yeah, everything crazy that could happen in America always happens in Florida. In fact, there's a great Twitter follow Florida Man, and that's where I get all of my good stories from. Go to follow Florida Man on Twitter, and you can pick up little gems like this. Except don't click on the link there because it just about crashed my whole computer trying to start up this podcast. Right, the pre-show here took like 20 minutes with me clicking around trying to get whatever virus. And all these downloads, I got booking.com downloaded now on my Mac somehow. Strange things. I think now there's somebody watching my every keystroke. So this will be a very quick Spurs cast so I can get off of this and clean this thing off. But guys, we're talking about a pretty tough January so far. And we're right here at the end for the Spurs. They've lost four games. They should have, you know, killed the other team in. They're just coming off two back-to-back losses, one to New Orleans, which is just dreadful, and then somehow the Mavs beat them. And, you know, they were without Powell. There's no Jonathan Simmons. There's no DeJounte Murray. There's no Forbes. There's no Joel Anthony. Kyle Anderson played, but, you know, he's back to his old ways of basically not showing. Dallas won 105 to 101. This was last night, wasn't it? Yeah, last night. Dirk goes for 15 and 10, so kind of classic Dirk. But Paul, what did you see from that game against Dallas and in the previous game against New Orleans that makes you a little bit nervous about this Spurs team, especially heading into the rodeo road trip?
It's just, you know, it's kind of, you don't want to make excuses for them, but it's really just lack of communication, very, very simple mental errors on defense. You know, defense has been their calling card all year, especially in the third quarters. I wrote a piece on Project Spurs how, you know, they have one of the best defenses in the league in the third quarter. I'm holding teams to 98.0 points per 100 possessions. However, since, you know, in the last six games since Powell's been out, they've been getting torched on defense, 111 points per possession they're giving up, which is kind of what the Warriors score on an average night. And you kind of see that. I mean, it's just like whether – let's say that the offense throws the ball into the post to a guy like maybe Harrison Barnes last night, for example. Well, the Spurs, you know, they start double teaming easily, quickly, but then they're not quick enough to get back in the rotations. And so either somebody's going to the paint for a layup or an open three, and it's just constantly. I mean, they're giving away simple layups that, you know, back in the past, Pop would, you know, under Tim Duncan's defense with Pop. These are the kind of stuff where Pop would immediately call a timeout, but now Pop can't even do that because this team is giving up, like, you know, like obviously have like four or five of those simple baskets a night. And, you know, and whether it's, you know, whether it's lack of motivation because, you know, they are playing below 500 teams. Mm-hmm. They've beaten Cleveland. They've beaten Golden State. You know, they've beaten Houston. Maybe this is part of it, just the mental lapses. Maybe, you know, maybe that's where Tim was, where you do miss, they do miss his presence, where he was that guy who kind of kept them, you know, energized and never letting up, where you kind of see it with this team where they let go of those leads. Last night was the first night where they gave away a 50-point lead of all leads. And, you know, this already the season they've given away five 10-point leads. So it's kind of something, a theme that's been going on lately. You know, you really don't, they were a 13-point favorite, and you don't know if they're going to come out with a win. And one other thing I noted in the Project Spurs piece up online is that in each one of their January losses, the opponents are having some guys go for career high or even season high scoring nights. You know, Seth Curry last night put a career high 24 points and 10 rebounds on the board. Back when they lost to Atlanta, Paul Millsap had a career season high. Tim Hardaway Jr. had a season high. Michael Beasley went crazy when he played the Spurs, and they won. Devin Booker. So it's a weird combination, you know. And I really do think that missing all those bodies, you know, Powell's. You had DeJounte Murray starting against Cleveland. Now he's not playing. It's just all those things do tie together and lead to, you know, can be a reason for this.
Yeah. Jose, do you think it's them, just like Paul was saying, that do you think it's the Spurs playing down to their competition or just mental lapses, or are they just getting beat? I mean, this Seth Curry stuff is just weird.
Of course not, because it's not weird. I said that we should sign him. I lobbied for the guy. Actually, we have a question on that I want to plug into my answer. It's from Julio at underscore JVLITOO. And he asked, what happened with Parker? And I think that's really...
what a general, you know, question. What happened with Parker?
Well, you know what he meant. You know what he meant. And I think that's really the... I don't want to say the problem, but really what they need to get used to again. The one thing I felt with Murray was they all sort of had his back when he was starting, sort of like, you know, like he's a rookie. We have to help him out on defense. We have to help him out on offense. Don't put too much pressure on him, especially the position he's playing. With Parker, it seems like they're all sort of calm now. Like, okay, this guy knows what he wants to do. This guy knows how to play. He's a veteran. And they sort of they don't have that intensity. I don't know if you all agree with me on that. That's sort of like how I'm seeing it. But this is something that they can get used to. Maybe make switches in the rotation with Simmons and Pau Gasol, you know, hurt. Maybe Pop needs to look into maybe a different starting lineup. But I don't see really too much of a problem with that. I just think that when Murray was in there, they played a different style where, again, he was explosive off the dribble. He created his own shot. He looked for others. You know, he really played like Tony Parker used to play, and now Tony Parker doesn't play like that. When he got those open shots, then the defense started, you know, collapsing on him, leaving guys open when Murray would drive. So I just think it's more of a getting used to, and maybe Pop needs to sort of integrate Murray more into the offense to bring that style again.
So
I would also
– go ahead.
I would also add that, you know, one thing I've noticed this season more so now lately is that Patty Mills has kind of become the closer. Pop usually brings Parker in to start the fourth quarter, 7-6 minute mark. It's Patty who's kind of closing the games out. And, you know, while that's, you know, kind of what you're seeing from Pop is that, one, I need a shooter out there with LaMarcus and Kawhi in crunch time, an extra shooter, and also a better defender, which is what Patty would, which you would call Patty opposed to Parker. But, you know, Parker had 16 points in three quarters last night. He was just kind of picking on Dirk every single time and picking rolls. He'd pick on Bogut a few times. But then, you know, in the fourth quarter when they need to make that comeback, when they, you know, it gets close, you can see why Pop's kind of hesitant to put him back in because he's not an outside shooter. You know, defense is going to sag off of him. On defense, he's going to, you know, he's more of a liability. So that is something to watch going forward. You know, why is Pop kind of tinkering with the minutes where he's making Patty the new closer outside of Parker?
You know, Paul, they're losing these games that they should be winning, and they don't have it. I would say that they don't have it any easier just given their recent lack of success. But tomorrow night on the 31st of January, they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll get into that in just a second. But if you look at all of the main statistical categories, just clear across the league, points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, blocks, all that kind of stuff, and you look at the Spurs and where they match up, you know, they don't have a top five player in any of these categories. If they had a top five player, is that where we start to see teams that do have that type of a player just will the rest of the team to win? So, by example, James Harden single-handedly won games for the Rockets. Russell Westbrook has single-handedly won games for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why aren't we seeing a player like Kawhi Leonard take these games over that they should be winning and just go ahead and win them for the team?
He's had a few. I mean, I want to say he's 11th in scoring as of this morning, and a lot of that's because he doesn't get to play in many fourth quarters. And you know, he's had a few moments, you know, against Cleveland. He had a big night against LeBron down there in the fourth quarter. But it's kind of like they're so ISO with LaMarcus and Kawhi as being their big two. They kind of don't know who to go to for certain stretches, and you kind of see it on the court. You know, when Kawhi starts doing the more of the ISO thing, everybody just stands around. And he doesn't get, you know, he gets decent shots, but not great quality shots. He doesn't incorporate a lot of people. And then LaMarcus, you know, his are the post-ups that are a very difficult shot as well. So that's something that they kind of have to, you know, work with as going forward, especially, you know, losing Powell is a big part of that. Powell kind of spaced the floor for them. He kind of got people in their positions. And then, you know, having Parker there as well would help, having him out there consistently. He just came back from an injury as well. So I think that it's definitely Kawhi is that guy, but you definitely need to see it, but especially by the time the playoffs come, you know, who is that alpha? Who is that guy that they can say, okay, give us, you know, 6 to 8 points for, you know, the next 2 to 3 minutes? And it's got to be Kawhi Leonard. I mean, as good as LaMarcus Aldridge is, if they're not double teaming Kawhi Leonard, he needs to be that guy.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you think it has to it has to do with also the defense, because he's their main stopper, and then they're asking him to be the main option on offense. You know, not, I don't even think LeBron's going through that this season. They put Shumpert and J.R. Smith when he was, you know, healthy. They would put them on some of the good players and then sort of help them out. But Kawhi's really, you know, what's that phrase, Kawhi Island? You know, he can shut down, you know, certain good players, but at the same time, they're asking him to be the number one option on offense. You saw that with the Cavs. You know, he was drained by the end of that game. Do you think that also has to do with him not being the guy or taking over games? Because Ryan mentioned James Harden, but at the same time, James Harden isn't really trying that hard on defense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. That has to be a part of it. That's definitely tied in there, is that he is guarding the best player. I think one thing that you've definitely seen more so in certain games is offenses on the opposite side will not target their best player. They'll kind of scheme around away from him just to get quiet. Perfect example of this was Milwaukee, you know, two or three weeks ago. Kawhi was guarding Jabari Parker since Giannis was out. So Jabari's considered like their best player on offense at that time. And so they were kind of purposely running stuff through Beasley. And then the minute that they put Kawhi on Beasley, they started targeting Jabari again. And so it's kind of something that you see. And then, you know, against those elite players like James Harden, like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you know, when they do play the Warriors, Kawhi's going to have that assignment. And you know, it does wear on him. That's hard to do. And that's kind of why you want LaMarcus and Tony Parker and Powell to be those guys to kind of carry them a little bit from the first three quarters of the game.
So the Spurs close out January tomorrow night, the 31st, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a team that is, I don't know if they're playing below expectations, but they're not really that good. And Enes Kanter's gone with a broken arm for punching a chair, which I'm not sure why he punched it with his arm. But, you know, they just lost to Atlanta big, 142-139, lots of points scored in that game. So I guess they didn't lose big, but lots of points scored, lots of energy expelled. 45 rebounds a game. I think that, you know, Kanter hurts that going in. But, of course, Russell Westbrook leads the NBA with 30.8 points per game. Is this another – I'm not going to call it a trap game because they should get up for a game like this, but the Spurs are better than Oklahoma City, at least on paper. Are we a little bit nervous, Jose, about how they're going to close out January against a team like the Thunder, who Russell Westbrook's putting that team on his back and going for it?
The first thing I'd like to say is I would like to just say publicly that I'm disappointed in Kanter for doing that. Not because he broke his arm, but apparently he had a fight with the chair and the chair won. But why didn't he do this? Why didn't he have this attitude when his boy got dropped by Zaza? At least, you know, at least throw an arm out there or something. He just looked at him like, you know, like, yeah, we're all cool here. You know, no. I mean, if you're going to take it out on the chair, you take it out on Zaza if he beats up your boy. That's the number one rule in basketball. Okay, so what? Oh, I have a question. Oh, you know, is it a trap game?
Yes.
You know, it's going to be difficult. This is a game where I wish Pop would play DeJounte Murray more just to see how his length and his height would bother a guy like Westbrook, bother a guy like Steph Curry when they play the Warriors again. I think this is really a good opportunity to get him out there and get some minutes. Parker's going to get torched, you know, especially when he starts against Westbrook, or if they move him to another position, you know, they have the height advantage over him. I think it might be I think it's a toss-up at this point with how bad they're playing, you know, especially after that Mavs game. If they lose this game, I think Pop's going to have to rethink life without Gasol for the time being and sort of change the lineups, change the minutes. And, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, well, this is sort of the Antonio Daniels situation. You remember Parker was backing him up and then Parker took his starting spot. It's not that easy, though, because this you're talking about the third-string point guard now. You know, if you start the third-string point guard, where is that going to leave the starter and the second string in Patty Mills? You can't really bump Parker down, then you're going to move Patty to the third string. You know, that kind of doesn't work. You can't put Parker realistically out of respect, I guess you could say, to the third string. So, you know, it's going to make Pop think about things really, really hard if they lose this game. So I'm saying 50-50. It could be a trap game.
I think it's definitely a trap game. You know, this is a game where, like you said, Cantor was giving them a, you know, big production. Right after the All-Star break. I mean, not after the All-Star, after Christmas, he was giving them 17 points a game off the bench. Now they've just lost that. So a lot of it's on Russ's shoulders, on Oladipo, on Steven Adams. I think this is a game where, again, I think the Spurs do get that double-digit lead within, like, you know, second, third quarter area. But then I don't know if they can sustain it, if they're going to keep, whether it's the mental aspect, whether it's getting letting the other team back in the game because of defensive lapses. I think that this is definitely a game where they really have to put their fist on them, you know, just hit them hard and, you know, get that lead up to 20, 25 points as fast as they can, if that's a possibility. I think one thing you will see, though, in regards to Parker is I think Danny Green might start on Westbrook just because you saw that against Kyrie Irving the other night. Right from the get-go, Pop kind of played almost like it was a playoff matchup where he made the adjustment quickly by putting Danny on Kyrie so that in any moment that Russ comes around a screen, you want to be able to either go under and have Danny or Kawhi ready to go on that switch against Russ tomorrow night.
You know, following the Oklahoma City game, they have two more games on their four-game homestand before they hit the rodeo road trip. And the other two games are really interesting, too. Up-and-comers, the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid, that whole crew comes to town. They're playing on the 2nd. The 76ers are a team that are competing, at least they say they're competing for that eighth seed or you know, they're thinking playoffs in the East. That's a game, again, where the Spurs should destroy them, and I think that they will. Does anybody think that Philadelphia has a chance here in San Antonio?
Absolutely, bro. Have you seen how they've been playing?
No, I know they've been playing great, but if you have any faith in San Antonio, because again, they're in a race for the top. They need to get that number one or number two. Number two is looking very likely in the West. They don't want to go on the road in a first-round playoffs. They've got to win these games because we know in the West, remember, like, not last year but the year before, it was like one game to the Rockets or something. Whatever, it was the last game of the year, right, and they lost to New Orleans, and it dropped them down to the fifth seed. Am I making this up? Fifth seed or sixth seed 2 years ago?
Yeah. Seventh seed, actually.
To the seventh seed. Yeah, dropped them all the way to the bottom and really impacted their impacted their season, right? So what we want to see is them take these teams out, that win the games that you should win, and Philadelphia is a game that they should win.
Yeah, they'll definitely be favored. Philly's actually playing some really good basketball, 11-7 since Christmas. They're like the seventh best defense. I'm really eager to see how Dwayne Dedman and you know, David Lee, Aldridge handle Embiid. But the Spurs do, you know, talent-wise, even with the Gasol injury and the Simmons injury, the Spurs still have that overwhelming edge. They should be, you know, 8 to 10 point favorites, somewhere around there. And they should carry it out, just like you said, Ryan. They can't be letting these teams get back. And as much as I want to say they should, it's like, man, these last two losses kind of just, they can't have you scratching your head like, wow, I can't believe they gave away this 15-point lead to Dallas and then to New Orleans. So as much as these are, on paper, these are automatic wins, even Vegas thinks they're like 10 to 11-point wins, it's still something that San Antonio has to prove, especially how they're playing right now.
You know what's the one thing that worries me, Embiid? Because, you know, at least he doesn't have – the Spurs don't have Gasol just to throw that body out on him and then on the defensive end make him play defense against Gasol. If you start Deadman, he's just going to stay in the paint. He's not going to move around that much. If you start David Lee, David Lee can't really shoot that well. I don't think they'll put him on Aldridge. So again, if he gets Aldridge into foul trouble, if it comes up to that situation, I don't have, not that I don't have faith in the Spurs, but that's really a lopsided situation there, because you can't put David Lee on him. You can't put Bertens on him. You can't put, Deadman on him for too long. I think Deadman, he's going to fall into the trap of trying to block too many shots and probably fall for pump fakes. And so I think this is the trap game. And again, this is where you're going to miss Gasol. There's been fans who have been criticizing his defense. He's not a good defender. Now you're watching, that defense that supposedly sucked, it's not there anymore, and they're suffering for it. Sort of like that Cinderella song. What is that, 80s? The hair bands. You don't know what you got till it's gone. It's kind of like that.
I can always count on you for a 80s hair metal band reference.
I'm a big Poison, Mark. So if you ever want to talk Poison.
Are you really? Because, Bret Michaels' band is amazing. Have you ever seen them by themselves? They do some Poison. I've probably seen them 5 or 6 times. It's the best.
In Texas? Now you're giving me reasons to go if it's in Texas, just to hang out.
Once in Vegas, once in Thackerville, Oklahoma, once in Dallas, and I think once in San Antonio. So maybe only 4 times. Maybe 4 or 5 times. Oh, but yeah, they're greatness, man.
Check them out. We should take Paul, too. Let's go.
A little road trip together. Absolutely. Well, following the 76ers game, they play the 8th seed Denver Nuggets, which is surprising that they're in the 8th spot. And this game has happened on February 4th. Pretty surprising that the Denver's in the 8th spot. I don't really think about Denver much when I think about the Western Conference. But they're there. Again, another game that San Antonio should kill. But it's got me a little bit nervous. Paul, tell me why we should not be nervous about the Denver Nuggets game.
San Antonio's kind of they're really bad defense, so that kind of plays in the Spurs' favor. Is that Denver is one of those teams where they're actually scoring very well. They're since Christmas they're like the third best offense in the league. Nikola Jokic is ridiculous, his passing and scoring ability. They're a run and gun team, a lot of 3-point shooting, getting out on the break. But the problem is on every night. The Spurs are having this issue because Gasol's out, where they're having these defensive lapses. Denver does this nightly. So in every game, you've kind of seen the Spurs build a huge double-digit lead and not lose that lead against Denver. It's one of those teams where they're just so bad defensively that San Antonio's offense is going to get really good shots, get that ball moving, get really efficient looks, and then defensively, they'll get a little bit of a stranglehold on Denver, and Denver go into one of those little holes where they stop scoring for a while, and then that's it. The Spurs really, because Denver has no way of getting those stops, so the San Antonio will kind of keep that lead up. So I don't think this is a trap game for San Antonio. This should be one that they should be okay winning.
Just box out. How is it pronounced? Jokic or Jokic?
Jokic, silent J. So Nikola Jokic and Yusuf Nurkic.
The urches, yeah. Anyways,
amazing.
Just box them out. That's the part that bothers me. That's how Jokic had all those crazy rebounds and putbacks and N1s. Just box the guy out and they'll be okay.
Well, before we get to the rodeo road trip portion of the podcast, let's take a minute for our sponsor. For you, the listeners of the Spurs Cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service and what they're doing. You guys know that Jose is, of course, downloading all kinds of political, highly Republican audiobooks. Listens to them every day. Listens to them in the squat rack. I choose a little bit of a vampire fiction, the Twilight series, currently into. Not really, but we want you to take advantage of their service. So download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty. And check them out, man. Do us a favor. And Jose, anything else about audible.com? What are you currently into?
I'm still in that Greg Gutfeld book. Just because I'm always right. He's always right, Try to win arguments with your friends. Download it.
Okay.
When are you going to put your book on there?
I know. I need somebody to read it. I need you to read it. Hopefully when you have a cold, just like today. This is perfect.
I was going to ask you, is it a coloring book that you can't put it on audible.com? Come on, bro.
It's a pop-up book.
Get on there one day.
It's a pop-up book. Yes, maybe someday. Maybe when I hit it really big. All right, let's click on over to the rodeo road trip. Of course, we know Spurs do this every year. The San Antonio Rodeo is coming to the AT&T Center, so the Spurs are gone from February 6th all the way. I was surprised it was this long, and then looking back, it's all kind of always this long, but it surprises me how the calendar just disappears. They're gone from February 6th through March 1st is how long the Rodeo road trip is this year. It's only 8 games, though. And sometimes they have 9 and such. They've never had they've only had a losing record one time, I should say that. 2015, they went 4-5 in the year. This is always kind of a pivotal point in the season. I think it's even more pivotal now because they have so many new faces on the Spurs. This is when they really gel as a team and they regroup and get moving forward towards the end of the season, hopefully gain some momentum. But this is when they have to form those bonds. And so it's a critical time. It sucks that Gasol is going to be out during this time. But Paul, just big themes of the Rodeo road trip. What do you think is important for the Spurs despite wins and losses? And we'll talk about each game, but what's important for the Spurs to get out of the road trip this year?
I think what's really important is Pop's going to kind of see – you're going to kind of see Pop really figure out who's going to be that backup to Kawhi Leonard. Is it going to be Simmons or Kyle Anderson? It really is Simmons already, just based on the data. You know, he's been hurt. But it's going to be good that they're finally – you know, outside of Gasol, they're going to be healthy going into that Rodeo road trip, you know, barring any kind of injuries here at home in these last 3 games before they take off. So, yeah, they're going to get their rotations. You know, the starting unit's still going to kind of be tinkered with because you don't know whether he's going to put David Lee in there or Davis Bertans. And then, you know, you have Gasol coming back in early March, probably, most likely, whether it's March 3rd would be the 6-week mark or March 17th would be the eight week mark for him. So as much as they're going to build some continuity in the rotations during these 8 games, it's also going to be a situation where Gasol, hey, you have to implement Gasol again. But I really think that their bench really needs to figure out, you know, I remember you guys in the last podcast read Colin's stat about the bench group. They've always done a great job this season, and you know, you guys explaining why it's because they build a starting unit out. They've had a lot of chemistry. They all play really well against with each other. It's almost like a pickup game, you know, like kind of what Jose said. But you know, not having Gasol there, one of those guys needs to be plucked from the bench. And I think also a guy like Davis Bertans, you know, is he going to be a part of this playoff rotation? Is Pop going to trust him? Well, this Rodeo road trip really is going to show that. If he gets some good, you know, 14, 15-minute nights on average, then that's going to show that Pop really has him in their long-term plans, because this is kind of when he starts buckling down and getting some things ready to go before they come back from All-Star break or after All-Star break.
You know, we have another question. This is from at Dan underscore D-U-H duh underscore lion. That's a brilliant name. Dan, and I want, since Paul's the wizard here, the Spurs wizard, he can answer this one. Here's a question for you guys. Other than Kawhi and LaMarcus, who do you think will have the greatest impact on our potential success for the Rodeo road trip? If you had to pick one guy, Paul.
It's going to have the most success for, yeah, San Antonio?
Who do you think it has to be the guy?
The guy. I'm going to go with, I guess, Patty Mills. Kind of, he's that explosive guard. Kind of, you never know what you're going to get. You kind of know what you're going to get from him, but then you don't know. He's a guy who's capable. He's a guy where Pop's going to give him the steady minutes at the backup of one, and he can explode for 20, 22, 25 points, whether he gets hot. But then again, he's also, you know, if he doesn't have a great game, he's going to give you 8 to 10 points. As much as I want to say Bertans or somebody like Jonathan Simmons, those guys, Bertans, because of his role, we don't know if he's going to get a consistent role. And Simmons still isn't a guy who's going to constantly, you know, keep the defense on edge. He has those sporadic games where he's really, really going off. I'd really like to see Murray get some minutes, but you can't just put Parker on the bench and just say, hey, go sit down. You can't put Patty Mills on the bench. So as much as Murray has the most potential out of that group to really benefit, I think it'll be somebody like Patty Mills.
You know, I want to see some consistency out of the old guys. I want to see Manu Ginobili play well consistently, and I really want to see Tony Parker build up some momentum and, you know, I hate to say some confidence, but you know, there's always too much up and down with Tony Parker, and you need that stable force moving forward, just like they always do. And you've got to have faith that not that he'll turn it around, but that he'll really take advantage of this opportunity to solidify that point guard spot for the rest of the year, from the starting lineup perspective. I mean, Jose, do you think that Tony Parker has, you know, something to prove maybe during this road trip? I hate to say that. I mean, you're talking about Finals MVP Tony Parker, right? But I mean, does he got something to prove to his teammates?
I think he's got to show that he still has it. You know, sort of that mentality. He showed it. He's had some flashes of it. You brought Manu up. You know, I'm going to defend my boy Manu because I don't know if Paul's seen this. The one thing I've seen him that he's not comfortable with is they're bringing him in motion in a catch and shoot situation. Sort of like with that game winner he tried to shoot. He hit the backboard, the side of the backboard when he was in motion. You know, he's aired balls like the, he's shot air balls in that way. I just think he needs to just get used to just spot up shooting. I think that's what he's used to. Maybe pop moves around somebody else. Can't really do that with Simmons or, you know, with Anderson or, you know, Mills is the only one, but at the same time he's being used, breaking up his minutes to, you know, spot Parker in some situations. But I'm just sticking up for my boy Manu there. I forgot the question.
Parker. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Does it ever matter?
It never matters, man. Well, let's talk about, you know, who they're playing. You know, last year they had a pretty tough show of it. I mean, they had a heavy West version of the Rodeo Road Trip. They started out in Miami, then Orlando, but then they had to go Clippers, Lakers, Phoenix, Sacramento, Utah, and then Houston as all over the place as Houston was last year. That's still a tough team even last year. This year, they get a little bit of a better draw. They're going through the East. You know, Jose, what does it mean that they're getting to play Eastern Conference teams versus the West during this road trip?
If they're going to be in a funk? In a funk. There you go. I thought of Terry Funk in my head. You know.
Oh my gosh.
I'm getting to be middle aged and crazy also. You know, if they're going to be in a funk, this is the schedule to, you know, to really get out of it. You know, they're going to play the Sixers, the Pistons, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Magic, who apparently Serge Ibaka is going to be on the trade block. I think this is the perfect schedule to really get your rotations in set and get out of that funk. If they start struggling against these teams like the Knicks and so forth, then I would be worried. It's going to be trading season. So maybe something happens. But, you know, this is the perfect time to really get into that groove.
You know, Paul, there's when I look through the list of teams that they're playing, and I'll go through and ask you guys about, you know, wins and losses and that kind of stuff. But what I like to see is a very even, you know, one day on, one day off, one day on, and sort of a pattern develop. And they've got that during this Rodeo road trip, except for one section where they have 3 games in 4 nights. And do you think that affects the Spurs more than, you know, another team? I mean, they've switched from being an old team to, I'm not going to call them necessarily a super young team, but they've got some athletes over there, right? And they're being carried by a couple of young guys with Kawhi Leonard, and then I guess a little bit older guy in LaMarcus Aldridge, but you know, he's not Manu Ginobili old. Do you think that affects them more than say, I don't know, Houston or something like that?
I think with them, they've actually been pretty good on the second night of back-to-backs this year. I think I want to say that they have a positive record because even though Pop will rest, you know, the older guys, like some say like Manu or Parker or even Aldridge, I think that's when the depth, it really shows when Murray gets those big minutes, you know, 30 minutes a night, Bertans, you know, some of these guys. So I think that this team, they actually do pretty well. Really. The young guys actually step up to the challenge when they get those starting minutes. And so I think that they'll be okay during that stretch. I do see Pop, you know, in that stretch during the road trip resting. Like I said, one of those three guys, Aldridge, Parker, or Manu, or maybe even all three in a game or two. So that's something to look at. But I think this year's Spurs team is okay with that. That the young guys, you know, their depth really carries them forward during those situations.
So when I look at this, look at the schedule. And how I want to do this is I want to go through and just sort of ask you guys for a rundown of wins and losses through the schedule, and maybe we'll just do them one at a time. But we'll start with Paul. That first game against Memphis could be a tough matchup. You know, they've got an all-star there, and of course, you know, Mike Conley is more than just solid. But they start out the Rodeo road trip against Memphis. I think it's a pretty tough game. I think if they're going to lose a game on this road trip, depending on if they've got momentum coming out of this homestand or not, I could see them losing that Memphis game. In fact, so I've marked that down as a loss on the Rodeo road trip. So starting off with a loss, do you see it the same way, or do you think that they win that game?
I have a win, but barely. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a loss, just because Memphis isn't playing well right now. They're 8 and 9 since Christmas, and I know I keep saying since Christmas, but it's actually a baseline that I like to use because it's something that that Pop actually uses, and the coaching staff. Brett Brown let that secret out in 2014 when he was coaching Philly. He came here and kind of said that the Spurs, they evaluate from start of the season to Christmas break, then Christmas break to All-Star break. So that's why I keep saying that. I look at numbers that way around this time of year. So I think that Memphis is kind of struggling, but, you know, they're a good defensive team. So that's why I always say that the Spurs this year, they really have trouble with some of these better defensive teams. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is a loss, but I do have a win right now.
Jose?
Inside information. That's why we have Paul on the show. We would have never known why he says before Christmas. I always thought it was something like, you know, Paul forgets that it's the new year. So that's good to know. You know, and I bet you now fans are going to be like, you know, I'm going to scout the Spurs from, you know, start of the season to Christmas and so forth. So I think it's a win. Is Zebo still coming off the bench?
Yes, he should be.
If you bring Bertans off the bench, I think that gives the Spurs a way too big of a lineup that'll bother them. I think the bench will win it for San Antonio. I got that as an absolute yes.
The next game is 2 days later on the 8th. They go and play Philadelphia in Philadelphia. I've got this as a win just for the reason that I provided when Philly's here in San Antonio. This is a team that the Spurs should win if they're championship caliber. Championship caliber team this year. They should win all of these games. Even if they rest guys, they still should win these games. Jose, what do you think for that game against Philly in Philly?
I think they'll win this one too, especially if they lose the previous meeting on the second. Yeah. I got this as a win also. I think they'll adjust to whatever adjustment the Sixers make.
Win as well for me, just for what Jose just said, the adjustments, I think, from the prior game.
How about the Detroit game coming up 2 days after that on the 10th? Paul, what do you think about Detroit?
I have the Spurs with the win. You know, Detroit's not playing well as well. They're 7-8 since Christmas. You know, they were one of those teams where they were having all their issues just a few weeks ago where, you know, they were having team meetings, and then Stan Van Gundy was kind of calling out his players. Mm-hmm. They kept forcing Reggie Jackson, or he didn't want to shoot in a game. So that's actually a team where I could see them being a little bit active at the trade deadline here coming up in the last month. But I see the Spurs getting a win that night.
And also Stan Van has been politically ranting. Maybe he should concentrate on his team, because it'll be a blowout for San Antonio. San Antonio will romp and stomp them. Boban, you'll destroy the Boban and the Baines.
Well, 2 days after that, they go to New York and they play the Knicks. And by that time, it may be a different looking New York Knicks team with all of the drama and rumors about Carmelo. Now, chances are he doesn't move, but you know, there is some rumor there. You know, with the Spurs heading into New York, they should totally beat this team. I have it marked down as a win regardless. It would just be interesting from a storyline perspective to, you know, all the Carmelo drama and some Derrick Rose drama. And it'd be really interesting for the Spurs to see Porzingis in action. But I do have it marked as a win. Paul, do you see it the same way, Spurs win in New York?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Is Derrick Rose going to show? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
You know, the Knicks are, you know, they're just raveling. They're 5-15 since Christmas. They're, you know, they're one of the worst teams in the East right now. Like you said, Ryan, they're going to be active with Carmelo at the trade deadline. I think the Clippers are definitely a destination everybody should look for. I think I could see Doc pull the trigger on that one for Jamal Crawford and somebody like JJ Redick together.
Not sending kid away. I thought he was sending Austin Rivers away.
No, not Austin. I would say Crawford and Redick would be the two guys that we really got to look at. If the Clippers do, I know they're not going to trade Paul Griffin or Jordan. Mm-hmm. But back to the Knicks, you know, I the last few years, especially since they've had Kawhi, honestly, the Spurs have played very well in New York. They've always gotten these double digit leads in New York. I don't know if it's just playing in the Garden or what it is, but they've always played very well against them. So I can see that same theme repeating, especially with this Knicks team that's kind of just, you know, going down the wrong way.
If they don't trade Melo, I can see the Spurs winning. If they do trade Melo, I can see the Spurs losing, just because it's going to be one of those teams where they're not going to be afraid. It's going to be a young team. They're not going to know they're bad, especially with the J.J. Redick and a Porzingis, if they're going to be on the same team, or Jamal Crawford, you know, really a high octane offense that they would get, or with anybody. It's usually those young teams that really bring out their best against the Spurs. So if Melo gets traded, It will be a loss if Melo does not get traded and he plays against the Spurs. It'll be a win for San Antonio.
You know, this is the game where they play the very next night. They have to travel to Indiana. I have this marked as my second loss for the Spurs on the Rodeo road trip. One, because of the scheduling, and I do think that matters for a team like San Antonio having to play back-to-back. And then also the fact that we just saw Paul George outduel the future MVP of the league and James Harden just recently and put up 33 points. I think he could do quite, you know, the same thing against San Antonio. I think that – so that's a difficult matchup when Paul George is on fire, that given that they've been on the road now for, you know, about 10 days – And then they're also in a back-to-back situation. So I actually have them losing to Indiana on the 13th, right in time for Valentine's Day. Paul, do you see that any other way?
Yeah, I have a scheduled loss as well. I think Pop rests, you know, it's a back, like you said, second night of back-to-back. They're going from New York to Indiana. I think Pop rests Parker, Monty, maybe even Aldridge. And I don't know if it's Paul George who goes crazy on them. I think it's one of the other guys. I think it's like somebody like Miles Turner or Jeff T gets hot or CJ Miles. Just one of these guys I think is going to have one of those season high career highlights that you've kind of seen with teams against the Spurs lately in their past few games. So I think that, yeah, that's a schedule loss for San Antonio.
I'll take that as a win. And I think this is the game that's going to make Pop really second guess that point guard rotation. He's going to start Murray. He's going to sort of, you know, be thinking, you know, does this kid need playing time right now? I mean, it's easy to say he's going to be the point guard of the future, you know, especially if they let Patty go next season. But do they really have a next season to experiment with, especially with Manu likely retiring after this season? You don't know where Parker's going to be physically and skillfully next season. I think this is the game they win. Murray starts. It's really going to get Pop second guessing or thinking about his rotations as far as the point guard goes.
So then the Spurs get Valentine's off so they can take their little sweetheart to the movies, and then they're right back in action against Orlando. So going from Indiana down to Orlando to take the Magic on. One of you guys, I think it was Paul, said that Serge Ibaka's potentially on the trading block. They'll have about a week prior to that, so I think there's going to be a whole lot of action in terms of trades right there during that week of Valentine's before the 23rd, which is the deadline. They go to Orlando. They take on the Magic. I don't think that there's no excuse for the Spurs to lose this game, you know, with or without Ibaka. I've got this as a win for San Antonio in Orlando. You know, Paul, how do you see it?
Same thing, a win, one, because the Spurs, you know, did lose, so maybe they're thinking about that. Orlando beat them here early in November. And then also, at that time in November, Orlando had the eighth best defense in the league. Now they're, you know, they're spiraling defensively. Like you said, Ryan, their makeup of their team might be different by that point. So I think that's definitely a win for San Antonio.
I'll say it's a win, too. They have a boatload of big men. They can't play them all. Burton's is showing up. You know, they're going to stretch the floor. David Lee's playing like he's in his prime. I think they're just going to out-hustle them. So I got that as a win.
And then we go for the All-Star break. And, of course, all those festivities. So we'll have a podcast about the All-Star break. But that'll happen. Trade deadline happens. And then when they come back on the 24th, they're out in L.A. for two games, playing the Clippers and then the Lakers. On the 24th, they play the L.A. Clippers. Again, that could be a much different-looking Clipper team in which their bench depth is just destroyed. Should they get Carmelo or should they be very active during the trade deadline and keep their core minus Redick? That being said, I still think that this is a game that San Antonio should get up for. I think it's going to be competitive. And I think San Antonio wins this game. And I think it's pretty tight. But I think San Antonio takes it. Jose, what do you think about the L.A. Clippers?
I think this is Gasol. No, Gasol's still going to be out, right? You said, Paul said, you said March. I think they lose this one. It's unless they go small and they could guard Blake Griffin. I don't think David Lee can do that. Maybe Bertens can do that because he plays to, you know, he plays tall and he plays long where he can bother him. But I think this is where you're going to miss Gasol because at least DeAndre Jordan would be out. You know, they could put both bigs out at the three-point line or mid-range. That would make DeAndre Jordan come out and play defense, leave the paint open. You can't really do that with Deadman and David Lee. It's going to be hard for them to score. So I got this as a loss. It's probably going to be a blowout because of that. Gasol's severely going to be missed this game.
I like Jose, I have a loss as well. I think I want to say the last two or three seasons, the Spurs have actually come back from All-Star break in LA against the Clippers. The 8 days off that they're going to have for All-Star break, outside of Kawhi and Simmons, they really come back on that first game back, and they really come back in very cold, not really in rhythm. And it takes them a while, like almost a game or two, just to get back into rhythm and a groove. And the Clippers kind of exploit that, especially last year they did that. And, I did a piece recently on Project Spurs of the Spurs' losses this year. And really the one team that's been their kryptonite all year has been the Clippers. You know, they beat them at full strength early in November, and then they in San Antonio, and then they beat them in L.A. without Blake Griffin. Now, this game, they shouldn't have Chris Paul back yet. And like you guys said, the makeup of the team might be different if they make a trade. Carmelo Anthony, but this is the one team that just has the Spurs' number as of last few years, dating back to that epic finals. I mean that epic of first round series in 2015. So I do think the Spurs do lose this game even without Chris Paul, and that Spurs still won't have Pau Gasol. So I think it's definitely a loss.
Does anybody think that the LA Lakers two nights later pull it out and beat San Antonio, Paul?
No, it's Lakers, they're trying to get a good draft pick. So by that point, they'll be caving, trying to get the best lottery ball they can.
Yeah, Jose?
Oh, I agree. And they're going to regret signing Mozgov and Deng to those big contracts. It's long-term contracts, like Paul was saying. They're playing for a lottery pick. They could have had this free salary cap next season if these contracts were 1 year, yeah. Plus that lottery pick. I mean, they would have a really good team. I just think they're kicking themselves right now. So it's going to be a depressing loss for them.
So we all decided that out of these 8 games that the Spurs were going to go 6-2. We had some differences in how they got there, but we all went 6-2, which would keep them right on pace with the Warriors, keep them right on pace with Houston, and probably keep them in that second spot. I don't think they gain any ground or really lose anything. Although, like we said, Houston just lost to Indiana, but the Spurs have been dropping these stupid games, sort of left and right here as of late. So we'll see. A couple games left in their 4-game homestand, and then they hit the road for the rodeo road trip. 8 games, basically all of February on the road. Paul, thank you so much for being a part of the show again today. Honored to have you here. You're the man that legitimizes this whole thing. So, gracias.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. It was fun.
Jose, anything else before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I don't know. I'm going to eat some garlic. I'm going to blend some garlic and lemon, fresh garlic, cloves, and lemon juice and NyQuil and get just knockout.
That sounds disgusting. So enjoy all of that.
Well, I'm single, so it's not like somebody's going to be complaining about it.
All right. Well, congratulations, everybody. You've made it through. We've made it through episode 428 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm RyanMC_PS. Paul, what is yours again? You just changed yours recently, right?
Yeah, Paul Garcia NBA. Paul Garcia NBA.
Awesome. Make sure to follow Paul. Follow all the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Go to projectspurs.com. Jose, Paul, thank you so much. To you listeners, you are welcome.